Friends, this morning there's so much to be said about today's scripture, and then right after the homily we have the rite of sending for our folks over here. So I'm going to delve right into scripture. I'm going to skip any introduction that I may have wanted to share with you. I want to do three things. First of all, I want to talk about the first reading in my first point. I want to talk about the second reading in my second point. And the third point, I want to really bring about the practical implications of these two readings. So firstly, it's really surprising that on the very first Sunday of Lent, the very first reading talks about first fruits. And you wonder, why was this reading chosen on the first Sunday of Lent? What is the celebration of the first fruits? What is the feast of the first fruits? Why was it celebrated? And what does it mean for us on this first Sunday of Lent? So this goes back to Moses and the Israelites. As they left Egypt, Moses instructed the people that when they enter the promised land, they were to bring their first fruits and offer it to God. So what did this mean? It meant that when the harvest of barley and wheat was ready, the Israelites were to take one sheaf of their grain, and generally it would be the first one that's ready to be reaped and harvested. This was the best, the choicest. And they would take it, bring it to the priest along with their prescribed offerings. And this was applicable also to the firstborn of beasts and human beings. So the firstborn of any animal was offered to God. The firstborn of the human beings, they were presented at the temple and consecrated to the Lord. So the first fruits were always the choicest, the first, the best of everything that was to follow. That's what's important. Now why? Why was this feast celebrated? First of all, it was an act of praise and thanksgiving. Secondly, it was a way of sanctifying their entire life, their whole life. Giving the first fruits helped the people keep God in perspective. Offering the first fruits year after year kept God in focus. Strangely, this reading about the first fruit and its purpose being keeping God in perspective and God at the center and God at focus leads us to Jesus in the desert. 40 days. His 40 days in the desert is indicative of the rest of his life. You know, sometimes we think that Christ was tempted 3 times for 40 days and after that it was all good for him. I wish it was the case for us too, isn't it? We were tempted for 40 days at one point of our lives and then we'd be free. Well, it doesn't work that way. We know that. But what happened in the desert is indicative of the rest of his life. In fact, scripture tells us that the devil departed from him for a time. In other words, the devil kept constantly coming back. But what the reading also tells us is that Christ navigated through life in the same way that he did in the desert. He kept God in perspective. He keeps God at the center. In times of temptation and in other times, Christ keeps God in focus. So much so that he's consumed with love for God and he's consumed with God's love for him. And I want to say that Christ did not just offer first fruits, Christ became the first fruit. This is crucial. Where is God's harvest? Here they are, the candidates and catechumens. This year you are the harvest. But for humanity, Everyone who believes in Christ is the harvest. And who's the first fruit? Jesus Christ. So Jesus doesn't just offer first fruit, he becomes first fruit. That's my first point. In the gospel, of course, we hear about the temptation of Jesus. But did you notice that the reading begins with the words, filled with the Spirit? Jesus entered into the desert after his baptism. The Holy Spirit had come upon him, and then he goes into the desert led by the Spirit. And what happens in the desert is crucial. As Jesus is tempted in the very instinctual aspects of his life, his bodily appetites, his natural desire for control and power, the human need for success and glory, as he's tempted in all these areas, and hear what I'm going to say. I think this is crucial, at least I found it crucial for me. He must align his spirit with the Holy Spirit. This is what's happening in the desert. He's constantly tempted. He's constantly invited to probably just be what everyone else is. But in the temptation, that becomes the place where Christ radically aligns his will with that of God, his spirit with that of the Holy Spirit. Does not mean that he has to lose his identity. No, he has to find himself in God. His spirit must replenish with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, once again, for Jesus, this must have been a process, right? The way today's temptation is written seems like it happened within the span of 5 minutes, one after the other. Boom, and it's all over. No, he spent 40 days. And the areas of his temptation, first hunger, and then the third temptation is, if Jesus had succumbed to it, he would have lost himself completely. So I'm thinking that the areas of his life and the intensity with which he was tempted increased, became more intense. But Jesus gradually, in 40 days, as a process, learns to find himself in God. In 40 days, he aligns his spirit with that of the Holy Spirit. In 40 days, Jesus learns the art of finding himself only in God. And I think this happened throughout his whole life. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but your will. He's aligning his will to that of God. On the cross, he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? But then finally, he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He's finding himself in God. He's aligning his spirit with the Holy Spirit. That's the second reading. And then, of course, we ask ourselves in the third point, so what does this mean for us, right? So I just want to put two things out there for you in my third point. First fruits. We don't celebrate the feast of first fruits. We don't bring our harvest. We don't bring our things before God. There's no feast like that for us. However, in our fast-paced and multifaceted life, today's message must take root. Instead of first fruits, how about we think that we offer the first or the best 10 minutes of our day to God? That we as Christians on a day-to-day basis don't give to God the leftovers, but that we give to God the best. So the 10 best minutes of the day, can we make sure that we give it to God? In this way, keeping God in focus, keeping God in perspective? Not only with regard to time, but with regard to our energy, our resources. Listen, we are a people that don't just give leftovers to God. We give the choices, the best, the entirety of our being. And secondly, I think the real Lenten project is in these 40 days to learn like Jesus to align our spirit with that of the Holy Spirit. And I think there are no shortcuts to this. We have to consciously enter this process of aligning our spirit with that of Jesus. So for example, one area we can do that is temptations. So if you are tempted to overindulgence, perhaps to gossip, maybe pornography, or laziness, or indiscipline, or impatience, or resentment, or unforgiveness, or prejudice. These are the areas where we might face temptation. We might be inclined to give in. However, I think Scripture is teaching us to face our temptation. Don't run away from it. Face it, but face it in Christ. Reflect, what would Jesus do if Jesus were to face this temptation? What would Jesus do? And here is an opportunity for us. This is where, like Jesus, we must align our spirit with that of Jesus. This is where we must find ourselves in Christ. This is where we learn what Jesus learned in the desert. And then over the 40 days, as we undertake this task of aligning our spirit with that of Jesus, I guess we could also say to God, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And wouldn't it be fabulous that at the end of our lives, like Jesus on the cross, when we were dying, we could say to God, Father, into your hands I abandon my spirit. See, and I think this is not just a Lenten project, this is a life project. So today's meaning, readings have a lot of meaning for us folks. The whole concept of first fruits, giving our best to God. And the concept of Jesus in the desert, aligning our spirit with that of Christ. Let's pray for that grace. And particularly, let's pray for these candidates and catechumens. I think we have about six of them who will be baptized this Easter. And then there are altogether about 22 people who will be coming into the church. Let's pray for them that these 40 days, it's important for the church, but that may be even more important for you as you say yes to Christ and you say yes to the church. People of God said, Amen.